Father, we just pray protection over each person, actually the whole friendship, Father, all of the personal finances, God. We just pray the blood of Jesus over our personal finances, God. And I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be sensitive to your warnings. And I pray, God, that the scammers will stay out of Franschhoek in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't feel alone. It happens. It's not the only one. I've got a quick word. I'm amazed that we got to 7 o'clock on Sunday evening without anybody saying a word about cricket. Okay? Huh? Nobody said a word this morning. We don't normally watch cricket, but yesterday morning Richard said, well, it's the World Cup. We apparently haven't been in the World Cup final, or I'm speaking under correction. I don't know anything. But it was a big thing. So I said, okay, well, let's watch the cricket. And needless to say, I thought I had a new hero. What is his name? Heinrich?
Yeah?
Clausen. But then in the end, I thought he did his bit. But you know, I was now watching, and in between, because it takes forever. It was like, what, 4 or 5 hours. So you're making food, and... No, Rosita's like, was it not that long? Oh, 3.5 hours. Well, I should ask Derek what happens. That's probably the only sport you're excited about, hey? Is cricket. So I'm not going to tell you I know what happened. I have no idea what went wrong anyway. I don't know. I know that part. I know we didn't get the medal, but as I was now listening and you kind of cooking food and the kids are in between and constantly one of the kids are asking, are we winning, are we winning? And it's one of those things that you don't really know until the very last ball. But the commentator at one stage, he said something that really struck, it just stood out to me. He said, these games, you need to get the basics right. That's what he said. But that was kind of the beginning when we just... Did anybody watch it? Okay, shall I ask? Okay, so I gaan so 'n bietjie daaroor praat. All right, pretty much all of us watched it. But he said it kind of in the... Just when we started batting, he said, well, you need to get the basics right in these kind of games. Now, we all know we need to get the basics right. I think if we play at that level, basics are quite important. But then there was this little bit of me that said, you need to get the basics right, but you also need to hit the ball, you know, because we were not getting runs because nobody was hitting. It was just this 1-1-1. And I was like, look, we need 9. And William and I are doing the maths the whole time. And I'm like, we need 9 runs per over. And it wasn't happening. So I'm like, yes, the basics. But at the same time, when you can't hit it, you better well hit the 6, you know. And in that moment, I felt the Lord speaking to me, and I felt him saying, it's the same in life. You need to get the basics right, but there comes a time when you need to take a risk, and you need to hit, because just playing it safe is not good enough. Now, I'm not saying I'm a cricket no kenner, fundi, so the basics could be hitting a 4 or 6, but I realized, you know, very often, and I think we spoke about our personal finances yesterday morning. We had a long chat about that. That's okay. He's not bothering. He's just doing a loop. I've seen him. He's done it 2 or 3 times, so don't worry about him. There he goes. But we had a chat about our personal finances yesterday morning, and I was so reminded because I heard this commentator, and then I felt God saying, yeah, but there are times when you've got to take a risk. And I thought about our conversation. Richard's like, where are you going with this? And we spoke about our personal finances, and we're very diligent and disciplined, and we have our monthly meeting, the budget meeting between the husband and the wife, which is always fun. And then there are times when you do all the sums and you make the wisest decision you can, but then the Holy Spirit says, give some money away. And you're like, Lord, that doesn't actually add up to our budget that we just did. But you see, that the basics is being a good steward of your personal finances, knowing, because Proverbs says you need to know your flock. That's not just for the pastor knowing his sheep. You need to know the state of your affairs. You're not living by faith if you're just sticking your head in the ground saying, I'm not looking at my bank account. Faith is when I can look at it and say, Lord, it's not enough, but I trust you, right? But I was reminded of how often we either do the right thing and we just do the right thing, but then we're not open to the risk when Jesus is saying, right now I want you to put the budget aside and I want you to give over and above, which on paper you don't have, but I'm asking you to give it. And I'm not, it's so difficult sometimes if you're a left brain like me, because you're like, Lord, you're trying to be a good steward, but at the same time we need to be open to him speaking. And as I was preparing last night, I felt God saying, but you know, the Bible is actually full of it. You know, Moses, he was in the desert for 40 years looking after his father-in-law's sheep. He was doing the basics right. He did the diligent thing day after day, but he was open to the burning bush. And the Lord, we're not going to go to that scripture. We're going to go to another one. I don't have a lot of time, but we're not going to be long. But the Lord only spoke to him once he turned aside. Go read that story. So he could have easily left the burning bush saying, I'm only here for the sheep. But God interrupted. He's doing his diligent work. God interrupted him, and he was sensitive enough to turn aside. You see, it's such a fine line to be a good steward and do what he's called you to do and do it with all your might and do it really well, but at the same time being open to him saying, right, now we're turning to the side. And another guy that did the same thing is Elisha. He was plowing in the field. You know Elijah's servant? He was plowing in the field, and he was just plowing. He was working. And then Elijah came, and he threw his mantle on him, and he said, well, do you want to follow me or not? Again, it was while he was being diligent, yet his heart, they were fishermen. Then verse 17, then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Isn't it beautiful? These are two brothers. They're fishing for a living. This is what they're doing. Diligently, day after day, they go out, they throw the nets, often the afternoon, they clean it up, they go home. That's what they're doing day after day. But once Jesus steps onto the scene, when Jesus comes and says, right, now is the time to take a risk. Now I want you to follow me. They are ready. Immediately, they drop everything and they go. I often thought, I don't know if I would do that. I want to believe that if Jesus comes, I would do it. But I don't know if I would. And then, yeah, verse 15, we see it happening again to two other brothers. When Jesus had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets, and immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. This is just two, and it's a story we so easily skip over. Is that right, broer? We so easily skip over that Jesus calling his disciples, and we carry on to the miracles he did. But the reality was, these four disciples, they were in their ordinary, in their day-to-day, being diligent in what the Lord has called them to do, yet they were open to God saying, now it's time to follow me. Now it's time to let it go, put it down. And I'm always encouraged. You hear these stories of people that, like Johnny Bell, Johnny and Tani Deleste, being a pharmacist for how many years at 50 to put the spade in the ground? I speak under correction. Somebody else might know the story better. But, I mean, he was in the garden, the way I understand the story. He was doing gardening. He loves his garden. And he put the spade in, and he felt God saying, it's time to stop working. And then next thing they knew, they went being missionaries in Ukraine for how many years. And I'm just amazed at how when we are diligent but have a heart who's open to hearing from the Lord, that God is saying, I don't want you to not be diligent in your day-to-day, but I also want you to be open to me interrupting. Does that make sense? And I felt God saying, the way we make sure we don't miss him, because the thing is we can get stuck and he can speak and sometimes we miss it, but if our hearts are soft, and we have a heart that says this morning, like Richard said this morning, Lord, where are you leading me today? Yes, you're leading me to work because that's where you've placed me. If you're leading me to my kids, wherever it is, that is what I'm doing. But God, I'm open to whatever you want to tell me today. So I want to encourage you guys this week to be open. to Jesus interrupting you. And maybe it's not as radical as come and leave your nets and we up and outing and not doing that job anymore. Maybe it's just a whisper. Won't you just leave that and have tea with your neighbor for a little bit? She needs some love. It's sometimes just a whisper. But you see, it's both. It's the doing the basics right, but as well as being open to being interrupted. Does that make sense? So I'm not going to share very long. That is basically my word. I just feel God is saying that it's an adventure to follow him, like Richard said this morning. We are following him, but we are serving him and doing excellently whatever he's placed before us to do in this season. But being mindful that we can be interrupted. Amen? Does that make sense? I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are so good. Thank you for all the testimonies we heard tonight, Lord, that even when it's going really tough, that you are there. We thank you, Father, that we know, Holy Spirit, that you are with us, that you lead us, that you are the good shepherd. But Lord, we pray this week that our hearts will be soft, that our hearts will be open, Lord, towards you, God. And we just say, even though we want to do the basics right, we want to be the good wife, the good mother, the everything we need to do, God, we want to be open to whatever you have on the agenda for our days as well, Lord. And for some of us, that's maybe not a very big thing. It's just saying somebody, I love you, or phoning a friend you haven't phoned in a while. And for some of us, it's a bigger risk you're asking to take. But Lord, I pray for boldness to when we hear you whisper, God, that we will obey immediately, Lord. That we will not hang back, that we will not keep back and say, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it the next day. But Father, that we will be obedient. I pray, God, your blessing over each one as we go from here, Lord. I pray your blessing over our week. Plead the blood of Jesus over each of us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name. Amen. That is it. Enjoy the tea and coffee. We will see you next week.